Welcome to the Sisterhood Tea Party, where we get together weekly to discuss all the tea about life, relationships, pop culture, and generally anything you'd chat about with your best friend over a cup of tea or beverage of choice.
We're your hosts, Stephanie and Jessica, and we've been spilling the tea to each other for more than a decade, and now we're ready to invite the rest of you to the tea party.
Hey friends, welcome to today's episode of the Sisterhood Tea Party podcast. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Stephanie. Today we're talking about the highs, lows, and everything in between when it comes to single life versus married adventures.
Yes, but before we dive in, let's catch up on what's been top of mind for us this week. Hi Stephanie, how are you?
Hey girl, I'm good. How are you?
I am, you know, hanging in there, living life. What has been going on for you?
I feel that. Right now I've been kind of reflecting. I mean, we're 23 days into the new year, right? And being single, I'm trying to shift my kind of mindset and like feelings towards it, because in the past, aka 2024, I had more of like a negative energy towards it, and for good reason. There's a lot of things that have happened, but like, I really want to focus on like how I can bring in energy. So one of my friends and I, we talked a couple weeks ago about how we want to be intentional about setting ourselves up for success. How can I position myself to be the best version of myself? And that I have to start with the work with me. So checking in with each other every single month, we're planning to just kind of see how we can have newer experiences, how we can just put ourselves out there more to, you know, see how things go.
Definitely. well, I'm excited for you, and what you're framing is positive energy.
Yes, girl. What about you?
Yeah. So for me, top of mind, I will say this past week and the past several weeks have been really, really hard for me, honestly. My dog, Bo, has been really, really sick, and he is like our child, and he's been in and out of the hospital, and luckily he's doing really, really good right now, but like it literally changes every day. So you just never know. And I think the thing I've been reflecting on with all of this is just, is my marriage and my partnership with my husband, because it has been one of the hardest things I think I've ever had to go through. And I can't imagine not doing that with him. You know, there was a moment a little over a week ago where we got the call that like, there was a chance we were going to have to put him down. And we just sat there and cried together for like an hour, and then thank goodness everything was turned around after that, and again he's like doing so much better, thankful for his amazing care team. But like I was just thinking, like I couldn't imagine going through this alone. And so I think for me, top of mind has just been like, wow, we've had amazing great times, and we're going to talk about all the good things and stuff too, but like I just think sometimes about like, there's a lot of grief I'm still going to experience in life, that we all are, you know, as we get older. And I'm really grateful to have a partner that's going to be there with me through it, because it was really a tough couple weeks. But like I said, Bo's doing really, really, really well right now. So we're staying very positive about it. He's had more energy than he's had in like probably a month. And so that's really good news. But yeah, that's been like what I've just been reflecting on, and we'll talk more about today.
Wow. I mean, I'm thankful, one, that he's doing much better. I mean, I've been, you know, trying to keep up with your updates, and I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that with us, because that is a lot. And I'm also thankful that you have a partner who supports everything, and he's there for you to lean on. So I'm sending you all the well wishes and continuing to, you know, send all the good vibes for Bo as well.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Well, we're going to go ahead and dive into today's main topic. So we're going to talk about those challenges of, you know, being single, being married, but also the benefits and the exciting parts. I'm going to kick it off
with just,
yeah, the single experience, specifically dating in 2025. Now, there's not a lot to say, because again, we're only 23 days into 2025, but speaking from my past experiences, dating apps and social media have been such a huge part of my dating experience, I would say, for the last 10 years. I remember, this is like a really random memory, but when I lived in San Antonio, I still remember, and I was working at the Buckle. That is a separate conversation for a different day. But when I was working at the Buckle, these two men come in, and my friend and I, we thought they were like the hottest guys out there. We're like, oh my gosh, like we gotta like turn the flirt on, like we gotta sell them these Miss Me's and like hope for the best. And so they come up to us and they're like, hey ladies, have you heard of Tinder? And we were like, what's Tinder? Like that's, it's still like super, wow. Yes. And I think this was in 2013, 2014. So we're like, what's that? And so they're explaining it to us. We're like, oh, that sounds cool. So we downloaded Tinder in 2013. And this was before things have changed in terms of like how the app, and the apps have just transformed so much. Like Tinder used to be as simple as like swiping left and right and like rating somebody. And that was pretty much the extent of it. And you could talk to people. And it was also dubbed like the hookup app, right? But then from Tinder, there became Hinge, Bumble, Plenty of Fish. I mean, all of these different apps out there, there's just like hundreds of different apps out there. And they all relatively have the same purpose. So I feel like it's just, it's been a lot and it has been very overwhelming. And when I met people on these apps, I would be sitting there swiping left and right. And it just felt like a job. It felt very exhausting. And I would meet people and it would be, you know, it would go great. And I actually met a couple of the guys that I dated, seriously, I met from dating apps. But look how it turned out. Your girl's still single. So so
I can imagine it's exhausting because even trying to use like BFF, it's like I always on BFF just for friendships, I'm like, yeah, I want to meet up with this person. And then like by the time the weekend comes around, I'm like, do I want to go be on to go meet this person? So then I can't even imagine that on like a romantic level too. And like, also just like, if you're dating men, then like, you know, we know what the men are not menning, I think was a quote from our last episode.
Yeah. The men are not menning and they still are not, but you know what? I am choosing to look past it for right now, continue to work on myself. You know, I've done a lot of self-work in the last several years and I'm understanding that like, I am worth like, I'm worth it. And I would rather stay in this position of like being single than to be hopping from relationship to relationship. Like I know some people have, but I'm not going to throw too much shade on here. But I'd rather be in a position where I'm like, okay, I feel good about where I'm at and I'm allowing this person to be in my life. So dating apps for right now, I've taken a backseat on because they became too much work and they became too much of a hassle for me. And it started to stress me out. It doesn't make it fun when it becomes a chore and it becomes just like, oh my God, I have to get on here again. I'm so over it. So I was like, I'm not putting myself through that. And I think there are others that realize that, you know what, dating apps are going to be for me and they've been able to shape them to make it work for them, right? I have not been able to crack the code in how dating apps work for me. I still think that there's a lot of bias when it comes to it. And I could get into this with like the algorithms being basically racist towards people who look like me. And there'll be people out there being like, it's not like that. I don't know why you would say that, but it is. I've seen it. I've run experiments on social media. Specifically on dating apps. I've used like test profiles, used different phone numbers, everything to like see. And it very much was a stark difference between my own personal profile and then the profiles that I was like testing with. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Preach.
But I feel like at the same time, I'm not going to stress myself out too much about being single. I'm really loving the fact that I'm in this era of like being able to decide like how I can live my life. I don't have to really, you know, I don't have to answer to any, not really answer anybody. I wouldn't answer to anybody anyway, but like I'm able to like just enjoy my life and not have any restrictions in a sense. Like I'm able to focus on my own personal growth, on building my career, but I'm really thankful for these opportunities so far that I have. And one day I'll be able to share them with someone. But for right now, it's been nice to be able to build in this for me.
Do you think that that is also one of the challenges of dating, is that some, I'm going to say men, expect you to check in? And to like, not that I'm saying like checking in is a bad thing. And I'll talk about this on like the marriage side too. But like, I think that some men in society expect a very traditional conservative relationship. And some women do too, but just for the argument's sake, I'm talking about men right now. And do you think that that's part of the challenge of dating, is that like, you know, you want to still have that freedom and you don't want to have to check in with someone, but some men expect that in society? Like, I'm curious about that.
I think so. I don't mind sharing like information about, you know, this is me checking in, like sharing my location. But when it gets to be a point where you're stalking me, where you're asking me like, where are you? Why are you not doing this? That, no, that's a problem. I have an issue. But it's just, if it's just for general, like checking in, like, hey, I want to make sure you're safe. I want to make sure you made it to whatever destination, that's completely fine. I think when it comes to dating, yes. And some men will like indicate that on their profile that they're looking for someone who's like more traditional, family values, all these things. And I'm just like, okay, like I'm an independent woman. I really don't need you. I want you to be in my life. So I don't want you to act like you're some prize. Like if I want you in my life, I can have you in my life. Like that's it. So,
yeah. I ask that because I see people online talk about, I think like when you see people who've maybe like gone through a divorce or people who have, you know, gone through a recent breakup or things like that, like a big thing I hear them talk about is like some of the freedom they got because they were in what I would categorize as an unhealthy marriage or relationship because there was like a level of control there and a lack of freedom for someone. And I think that that is a commentary, in my opinion, about some of the gender norms in society. And so, that's why I was curious if like you run into that on the dating side too, because I see it on like people talking about after they've broken up, like how aware they become of how that was in their relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. Thankfully, that's a position that I have not experienced very much, but I have known people in a similar situation who have dated people who were like that, who felt very like confined and restricted. And when they came out, they were like, oh, I have, this is a whole new world. So I would agree, but I feel like with single life, you know, it offers plenty of opportunities for self-exploration and freedom, but, and I think you would agree with this, marriage brings its own unique experiences.
Mm. Yes. Yes, it does. You know, it's interesting because I feel like, you know, I talked about this in a little bit in the beginning, but I think that like my favorite part about being married is having that partner through life. Like I genuinely feel like my husband is like an extension of me in the sense that like, you know, if I'm frustrated at work, he's going to know about those frustrations, you know, like if I'm like, I have this big dream and goal, he's gonna be the first person I tell about those things. If we're going through something hard, like what's been going on with our dog, like I don't have to go through that alone. If I'm going through stuff with my family, like I think that that's like my favorite part about it. But it does of course come with like challenges as well. Like I think, it's interesting because when I was prepping for this episode, I was like trying to think about how to talk about this. And when I hear people like talk about the challenges in marriages, I don't personally feel like the challenges that I hear about are the same as the challenges that are in my relationship. And so to me, it just shows that like what's hard for one relationship is not the same for another. Like when it comes to things like maintaining independence, it's never been something that I feel like either of us have struggled with. Like I think that's because the way that we dated was very much like that. Like, don't get me wrong. We moved in together after like 3 months of dating. So like it's not that we were like, we lived totally separate lives, but like I, you know, would be in one room watching TV and he'd be in the other room watching TV. Like, I think sometimes early in dating, you're like, we spend all this time together. And then like, then it changes when you get married. Also, we were together for 7 years before we got married. And so like, we were like really finding our own ways, you know, but together. And so to me, most of the challenges are much more closer to like the life stage transitions, which just happen in life and you deal with together. I think also, honestly, the day-to-day stuff, like we both hate any kind of domestic duties. And so sometimes it gets to a place where we're like, dang, one of us really needs to go shovel that snow, or dang, one of us really needs to go like pick up that dog shit in the backyard, like that kind of stuff. And then we kind of bicker about who should do it.
How do you navigate that? Like, how do you navigate those, like, those little things that you have and not have it turn into like an argument? Because I feel like I've heard things like this and it turns into a huge fight in some couples, which I'm like, is that normal? Like, what's going on here? Like, how do you make that work?
Yeah. That's a good question. So it's so funny because I think some people are probably more organized about it and they're like, we're going to sit down and we're going to divide the chores and we're going to like do it this way. Like, honestly, we're pretty bad at that. We do have some division of chores and stuff. But honestly, for the most part, it's until one of us a little bit hits a breaking point and we're like, can you just like do this? And like who does it often differs by like who's under a lot of stress. So like, for example, if I've been traveling a lot, and I know Jamie's been handling everything. When I get back, I try to like up my game a little bit with that stuff, you know? Or if like I'm dealing with a lot of stress at work, Jamie will kind of up his game a little bit. So it's definitely not perfect. It's probably the thing we bicker about the most. But to me, that's like small. Like, I don't want to argue about whether or not we want to have kids. Like, we've decided not to have kids and we're aligned on that. Like, that would be worse, in my opinion, if we were arguing about that, you know? Or major financial crises because one of us is not responsible. Like, that to me would be a way bigger issue. And so, which I think people do struggle with those things and they can face those in marriages. I think we've been pretty lucky to be fairly open in our communication about those things and pretty aligned in those things. Certainly, it wasn't like one conversation and now we're aligned. Like, you know, we put in the work and have those conversations over time. But I'm okay with just the arguments being about the day-to-day chores instead, because I get it. I hate doing them. I can't blame him if he hates them doing them too. So
absolutely.
So yeah. And it grows over time. It changes over time and things like that.
When it comes to conflict in your marriage, do you find like y'all resolve conflict pretty smoothly? Like, you're able to sit down, have a conversation. Are you one of those that you have to go into separate rooms, cool down, then come back? Conflict resolution. What does that look like?
Yeah. So I think both of our ideal selves would be the, let's sit down and talk about it in a rational way and then like move on. That's like, we're too busy people. That's not the reality. Usually it's like, maybe, I mean, it depends on what it is. Like, so if it's like the day-to-day stuff, it's usually literally one of us is just irritated. Maybe for big things, it's more sit down. So like, for example, it feels like sometimes like when, like, you know, you're going through your day-to-day life and then there's those like things you have to do as a human things, right? Like your car lease is up. You got to go get a new car. Oh, taxes are coming up. You have to sit down and do taxes. And I swear for us, it always piles up all at the same time. And so those are the times where I would say that like, it's not conflict, but it's like, dang, we have to like really sit down and have a deep conversation about this and debate some things and figure some stuff out. And I think in those big moments, it is much more of like, hey, do you have time? Can we sit down? No, tomorrow. Okay, cool. Let's schedule it. Let's sit down and let's like really go through it. Let's plan it. Who's going to take what task? Who's going to do what? What do I need from you to do this? Like, those kinds of things are more sit down. I wouldn't call that conflict though. Those are just more like the stuff you got to do as a human and you have to talk to each other to get it done. You can't just go do it on your own, you know? So those things are more sit down.
That makes sense. Okay. I have one more question.
Grill me.
I'm not trying to, but this actually came up in a conversation yesterday. My friend had polled a couple of our married friends. Like, do you find that marriage is really hard, really challenging? Mm-hmm. Obviously it comes with its set of like, you know, things that happen, like different moments that are challenging, like you mentioned with Bo, but like, do you find that marriage is just hard? Does that make sense?
No. And I think that, okay, so I say that not to say that everything is easy, but And I think about this too, is like, is this because Jamie and I live like a little bit more of a non-traditional lifestyle than some people, but like we don't have kids. And I do think that adding kids to the equation would make things a lot harder. And so I sympathize with people in that situation. I empathize with people in that situation who maybe have more marriage challenges with that. People who talk about it being hard because they're worried about someone cheating, because they don't feel comfortable having a conversation with their significant other, because they feel like they have to ask permission to buy something on Amazon and have to hide their Amazon boxes. I'm sorry, that stuff gives me the ick. That should not be hard. Those are never, ever things that I stress about in my relationship at all. Like not even crossing my mind, you know? And so like, that's the stuff where like, when I hear people say like, marriage is hard, those are often the things I hear. And I'm like, that's the wrong relationship. And I'm not going to judge. Everyone's got to go on their own journey, but that's not the stuff that should be hard at all, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you would say. But I also think that my friends would agree with you that it should not be hard. You go through different
No.
things that are challenging and that may like test you, but it's never supposed to be like hard. And if it is,
No.
you may need to reevaluate.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we have like a perfect marriage or anything. Like, there certainly have
Sure.
been times in our long relationship where we've like fought more than less. No, that's not the way it should be hard for sure. But yeah, I mean, no matter your relationship status, like both single life and marriage, it comes with adventures of its own on both sides.
It really does. For me, being single, I just take great joy knowing that I can just pack a bag and bounce at any moment. You know
Yes.
what I mean? If I'm like, I want to go out of town, I want to go visit my family, I want to go just on a random solo trip, I just type in, put in that PTO and go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I love that. I love being able to just kind of like leave on a whim. I don't have children to like worry about. Like, it's truly me, myself, and I here. I don't really have to tie up any loose ends, if you will, before I go. I can just go. It has also given me the opportunity over the last several years to kind of figure out things that I love to do and like figure out my, hobbies and passions, like spin. I'm coming up on 5 years in the next couple weeks. I looked and I
That's
was like,
so wild.
5 years of teaching spin. Okay. But I've been part of cycling for like probably 7 or 8 years now. And I think about the way that I started, it's a journey. And I've come to really love teaching and being a part of it. And now I have an opportunity to train new instructors, like being able to evolve from being an instructor who didn't think she could make it past 45 minutes of a class to now training others to be up there in front of people is wild. And I'm just, yeah, I'm
Proud
enjoying
of you. I still remember when you were like, I'm gonna become a spin instructor, and we're like, yes. I remember COVID taking your Instagram class. Like, I remember.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you.
The Instagram class. Oh my gosh. Instagram took that down, but it's okay. They did. They did. They said it was copyright, which probably because
The sound. Ugh,
the
that's
sounds.
like
But I remember that, yeah, I recorded a class and uploaded it to Instagram because I had like you and a couple other friends that were like, hey, I have a bike at home. Let me take one of your classes. I just was like, I feel very popular right now. But
popular.
anyway, but like it's right. And it's also given me the opportunity to be really flexible in my social life and also in my career, being able to have opportunities to join organizations that are here, meet new people, be a part of something greater than myself has been one of my favorite parts of enjoying my single status in a sense. And I've also been able to grow in my career, being able to take those chances and move from one area of my company to another without any experience and to be able to thrive in that part. And I'm only going up from here. You know what I mean? This is not the end. Like, there's so much
Yeah.
more out there for me, and I know that I can achieve that. And I want to be able to take all of that in before I have a partner to settle down with. But I know I can do all of that once I have a partner, but I'm trying to do as much as I can right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I do think that, like, going back to like the challenges before I talk about marriage adventures, I do think that one of the challenges is doing some of that external stuff, because as I want to, part of it is I'm lazy, but honestly, sometimes I'm like, man, or I could just like go watch the TV show with my husband at home, you know? And so I do think that there is a trade-off of that for sure. So I think that's awesome. I think for me, on the flip side, for the marriage stuff that I love, even though I said, oh, some of the things we argue is the day-to-day, it's actually the day-to-day stuff I also love the most. Like, some of the things that we do, we've done this like our entire relationship, where we create movie and TV brackets. So we'll have like four genres, and then we each pick two movies from each genre, and it goes into a bracket. And then we watch all the trailers for all the movies on YouTube, and then they go head to head, and we decide together. Or sometimes we'll play rock, paper, scissors if we can't agree, until we find the one movie that we're gonna watch. And like that kind of stuff is just so fun. And we've just like literally done that forever. Or like planning for holidays. Halloween is my season, so we're doing like haunted houses and like decorating the house. And then Christmas is like his season. And so we're like, again, decorating the house, going all out, watching Christmas movies, watching Halloween movies. Like that's the stuff that's like honestly the most fun to me about it is like, I said, he's my best friend. He's like an extension of me. So like, that's the stuff that I love, love, love the most. It's always an adventure, but it's just like a home adventure, which is great.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. I'm sitting here like all smiley and shit. Like, I want a man to do stuff like that. But it's I also want to take groceries to the third floor. So like, I don't know.
I mean, well, we get our groceries delivered. So, you know.
You know, I should do that. I should get them delivered. But like the hack that I have right now, this is like unrelated, but I had to share this. So when I buy water, I buy cases of water. I do not take them upstairs. I refuse. So I will leave them in my car and like open the case itself, but carry up like a few bottles at a time as I
need wait. I'm getting a text from you one day and you're going to be like, Jessica, he carried the water bottles upstairs for me. I'm in 100%. Love. It's done.
I am marrying that man. He carried everything upstairs. So it's done.
Men take notes. I love that so much.
But I feel like for us, we have some mutual adventures that we all can enjoy, right? I feel like single people, married people, it does not matter whatever your status is. You have all the things to enjoy. We've got hobbies, all right? Friendships. I think you and I value friendship so much. And I think that we pride ourselves on having amazing people in our life that we can rely on, people that we can lean on, people who want to see us win. I think that that's just so important. And whatever status you are, it's so important to have like a solid group of friends.
100%. I think that that's like actually quite critical, where I talked about like Jamie and I having pretty independent lives outside. Friends are a big, big part of that. I think that's so important to maintain when you get into that serious relationship, and when you marry someone, like you should still have your people, 100%. And then there's like also like self-care, you know, whether you're single or married, it's going to get stressful at some point and you got to take care of yourself, whether it's meditating, skincare, you know, just taking a day of PTO for yourself. Yes. Also, one thing that I do as a married person, if you're like, how do I have time for that? Because I have his partner. I wake up really early because my husband wakes up very late. Morning time's my time because no one's awake. That's my me time. That's my, like, I'm going to do whatever I want, whether it's scroll TikTok or get on, like, read on my Kindle, whatever. That's me time. So, like, find those moments for yourself too. Just a little plug.
See, I love that. I love that. Whereas for me, me time is all the time. So, whether I wake up early or late, it's all me. But I agree. I think it's so important that both you and Jamie have found that balance of like, okay, I have my me time in the morning when he's up, you know, later, and you're already, you know, in the middle of work or whatever you're doing. Y'all have that balance. And I think that makes things just work really well for you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
With all of that being said, it's time to play our game. It's time to play our little game.
What are we playing today?
Today is overrated or underrated. So we are going to continue on our little trend with single life and marriage and talk about just certain things within those that could be overrated or underrated. So first, swiping on dating apps. I'm going to take this one because I don't think you've ever swiped on a dating app ever in your life.
I will say that. So yeah, it was before my time. Jamie and I technically had our first conversation on Twitter, but
it's wild.
We had mutual friends, you know, and we met and had a conversation then at the gym. We kind of like knew who each other were, but our first technical conversation was about Drake on Twitter. So, you know, social media dating for the win, but continue.
Swiping for sure is overrated. I hate it.
Could've guessed you were going to say that.
Right. Shocker. Okay. I've been swiping probably for like what feels like 15 years, and I hate saying it like that, but that's what it feels like. It's just, there are better ways, and I've talked about this in the past, that there are better ways to meet people. And I have almost come to the conclusion that I do not think like the man I'm supposed to meet is on a dating app, because I've been on there for so long. Now, does that work for other people? Yes. A couple of friends I've had, they've met their significant other on a dating app. They're married, or they're still like in a very committed relationship. I love that. But for me, I've tried it. It has not worked. So it's overrated. And mm-hmm. I have my many reasons why it is overrated, but I'm not going to get into that mm-hmm. today.
You know what? I'm manifesting like an adorable meet cute for you. Okay. It's going to be, I don't know. You're walking through the bookstore. You're getting a coffee. You just got done with your spin class and you're getting a little juice. Like it's going to happen. It's going to be a meet cute. It's not a dating app. It's a meet cute story.
For I you. Have been wanting a meet cute since 2023. I don't know where it's at. I don't know
well,
where it's
2025,
at.
2025, new year, you know?
I know. And like, I've always wanted an airport meet cute. Okay. Ooh. And this story is, I'm, you know, perusing through the airport with my cute little carry-on and I see the man and he tells me, oh yes, I also live in Dallas. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how come I've never seen you before? Oh, I travel all the time, but I'm about to settle down. Oh my gosh. Oh. Amazing. And then boom, there we are. That's the goal. But I haven't had that happen. So did I ever tell you about
this? Just got to keep booking the trips. Keep booking the trips. It's going to happen.
That's true. Did I ever tell you the story about the man that I met in the airport that I thought was really cute? And then I and then I DM'd him because I found him on LinkedIn.
No, continue. What happened?
So I met this man at the airport. This was when I was visiting Tampa. I was flying back to Dallas. Sitting at the bar, super cute guy next to me. I'm like, oh, you're cute or whatever. I was like, let me shoot my shot. Okay, shoot all shots, by the way, friends. So I shot my shot and he was very nice. Like, had a great conversation. He was like, it was so nice to meet you, da da da. And like, that's kind of how we left it. I was like, okay, we love that. But I'm going to go find this man on LinkedIn.
Okay? As you should as a woman, I agree.
Because I was like, I don't know how else to find this man. Couldn't find him on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that. So I was like, I guess LinkedIn. And I found him, found where he worked, all the things. I didn't really care too much about that. I was like, I just wanted to say hello. I wasn't trying to be weird. But I messaged him and I was like, hey, it was so nice to meet you. You mentioned that you would want to come to Dallas. Let me know. And I left it at that. He was like, thanks so much for reaching out. I actually have someone I'm seeing right now, but it was so nice to meet you. Why did you set me up like that? Why did you lead me to believe that you were single?
You're like, I was putting in the work.
I really was. I could have stayed silent. I usually have my headphones in at the airport, but anyway. Moving on.
it's going to happen. He wasn't the right one, but there will be a right one. I can feel it.
Exactly. Exactly. Cooking for two, Jess, is it overrated or underrated?
Major overrated. 100% overrated. My husband and I rarely ever eat the same thing. Like, okay, it's not as bad as it used to be. It used to be like, you order from your place and I order from my place. Sometimes we can finally agree and order from the same place. But if we're cooking at home, we're not cooking together. Like, ever. Like, he definitely eats pretty plain seasoned food, as my sweet little white man does. And I like a little bit more flavor to my food and sauce to my food. So
I've seen your spice cabinet.
The same thing. Oh yeah. I got some spices in there. I'm not a very good cook, but if I'm going to cook, I'm going to put spice in it or sauce. So yeah, overrated. We really don't cook together at all.
Wow. I don't know why I didn't realize that. That's why I was like, you said over. I was like, oh.
What about you? Do you think it's overrated, underrated?
I think it's appropriately rated. I think in my head, this whole idea of like, oh, it'd be so cute to cook together. I'm like having this whole like fantasy of what this would look like. But in reality, I would probably annoy the shit out of me. But in my head, I'm like, oh, that would be super cute to cook together or cook the same meal, be able to share it together. So I don't know. I thought it'd be cute, but you're telling me that's what
I mean.
It is, so.
Okay, if you like the same kind of food, that could be the vibe. But like, we just don't like the same kind of food. And I will say we took a really cute cooking class in Italy on our honeymoon, and that was really fun and really cute. We also, for Valentine's Day last year, we made, what are they called? Like truffles together at home. And that was like a cute little thing.
Okay,
but, like,
love
day-to-day.
That.
Yeah, day to day.
Okay, I love that. Cool. All right, friend. I already know your answer to this is solo traveling. Overrated.
Way underrated. I love to solo travel. You know, my husband and I still travel together. Like I just mentioned, we went to Italy. We've done a lot of trips over the years, but I like to travel more than he likes to travel. So like we do our travel together, maybe on like a yearly bi-yearly basis. And then I'm taking like 6 more trips by myself. So that's where I'm at. I'm going to guess you're also going to say underrated.
Underrated. I do mostly domestic travel, but a lot of my travel also, it splits between my own personal travel, but also work travel. And being able to travel alone just allows me to like check out places on my own, not being held by anybody, sit at the bar at places, meet other people. Cause I like to be social when I'm solo traveling. I like to meet new people and kind of talk to them. So I love it. Yeah. Very, very, very underrated.
Love that. Love mm-hmm. that.
Okay, the last one. Elaborate wedding planning. Is it overrated or underrated?
You tell me first.
So I don't know, but this is coming from somebody who has done like, I'm going to come from this perspective of like modeling and meeting vendors and like being at these styled shoots. I think it's kind of low-key overrated. Like, here's the thing, and I'm also saying this knowing that I'm going to have a traditional Nigerian wedding and it's going to be very elaborate, so take it as you will. So, but I think that concept of it, again, with style shoes, I'm like, sometimes it's a little overrated. You don't really need 18, like, of these little, like, flowers that you're going to throw away in the trash. You don't need some of that stuff. I think about some of these vendors that I've worked with, I'm like, I wouldn't pick you as a vendor because I think that's a waste of money. But there are some other vendors where I'm like, oh yeah, like this makes a lot of sense. So I just feel it's overrated when you do too much, when you have too much of something that doesn't make any sense. Like if it makes sense to your theme, it makes sense to the vibe, then I think that's appropriately rated. But I wouldn't say it's underrated. I think it would either fall between overrated and being appropriately rated based on how you plan it, I guess. What about you?
Major overrated. agree. It's like overwhelming. Also, mind you, I was planning my wedding during COVID.
That's right.
So we got married over Zoom in 2020, and then we had our actual wedding, like with all of our people, in 2021. So we were planning it over COVID.
Loved it, by the way.
thanks, girl. So here's my pro tip, so that it's you can have something that looks and feels elaborate, but isn't, because I feel like my wedding had an elaborate feel. It was quite gorgeous.
100% did. I loved it. Like the vibes were everything.
Yeah. So what I did is I booked an all-inclusive place that does, I say all-inclusive, but it's not truly all-inclusive, but it does most of the stuff in-house. It's already a beautiful venue. Didn't really need a whole lot of decorations. They have a list of all the colors and all of the plate stuff and all of that, that like, I don't even remember what I picked. Like, I mean, I remember my colors, but like, you know, I'm like, I don't know. There's like 7 plate types. Pick one. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, that's the stuff that's like, feels unnecessarily elaborate. I didn't have to buy everything. It was all rented through the place. And then, you know, I just got my, they did all of the catering, which was great. So I just had to do the cake. Had to find my officiant, who my great aunt did that. And, you know, the dress and tuxes and stuff, but I think that was it. Everything else was done in-house. So you can have something that looks and feels elaborate without having to do the chaos of elaborate planning, which I could never.
Yeah, I feel like that makes sense. I'm going to keep that in mind because I'm like, all-inclusive, I never really thought about that. I'm like, I'm over here thinking, oh, I need to have 1,000 different vendors. And I'm like, maybe I just find a venue that has their in-house vendors and go from there and make things way easier.
Yeah. And I got like a planner from like the vendor. She would coordinate everything when everything showed up that day. Like she didn't go find all the other stuff that I needed. I had to tell her what those other companies were, but like she coordinated it all on the day of. So you don't then have to hire a separate wedding planner or do it yourself. Like it's just too much. So that was,
I love it.
Anyways,
speaking of planning though, we have something very, very exciting for y'all.
Yes. We are hosting a Galentine's giveaway. This kicked off on our Instagram already, and it's time to show some love to our wonderful Sisterhood Tea Party community.
Yeah, this giveaway is going to run now until February 13th, and the lucky winner will be picked and announced on Valentine's Day the 14th. So we will announce all of that information on our social media channels.
Yes, so head to Instagram or TikTok for all the details. It's already posted, so check it out. You can see what we're giving away. Lots of exciting, cute Galentine's Day stuff, and all the details for how to enter. So good luck.
And now as we wrap up today, it's time for our last drop of tea for the day.
Yes, and I will keep this pretty short and sweet today. So basically, whether you're single or married, what matters is really living a life that feels true to you.
Thanks for tuning in, friends. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe on our social media platforms at Sisterhood Tea Party, and enter the giveaway and let us know your thoughts on today's episode.
Bye, friends.